We're going to have a 4-week study on counterculture Christianity. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, society tells us a certain way to live. Is society always correct? No, society is not always correct. Some of the things that come out of society as part of our national culture now are diametrically opposed from what God would have us to do and how to live. And so by counterculture, we want to be set apart. The church is a group of set apart people, set apart from the world because that through faithful obedience, we live according to God's will, not the will of the world. Now, the world is right on some areas, and some folks that you meet, they'll be with God's will. So many times what happens is society creeps into the church and it becomes either doctrine or it becomes a problem in other ways. And it sometimes tears churches down. Churches split. People leave. People just give up completely on Christianity. So we're going to have a 4-week study of counterculture Christianity and how we should live. But before we do that, I want to tell a story. An elderly lady was quite lonely. She was just more or less by herself and didn't hardly see anybody. And she thought, I've got to find a pet. I have to have a pet to make me have some way of somebody to talk to, so on and so forth. So, you know, the first thing that came to her mind, and Mama had one, is to get a parrot. Now, Mama didn't have this parrot, but she had a parrot. It was a small parrot. The lady went, and she went to a store, and she said, I want to get a parrot. And the man said, well, I've got one, but there's no telling what it'll say and whatnot. But anyhow, it's a good bird. It's going to live many years, and it was well taken care of, but sometimes it says stuff you don't want it to say. And she said, well, I can live with that. I'm just by myself and so on and so forth. So she got the parrot. Then she took it home and then it paid and whatnot. It didn't say much. You know, she had it there for about a week. It withered a little bit, but it didn't say much. She thought, well, it's just trying to get used to me. Well, that Lord's Day of the next week, here comes the minister to visit. He thinks, well, I haven't gone to see her in a while. I'm going to stop in. And so here he comes and he pulls in the driveway and she welcomes him in and she's so happy to see him. And she thought, well, the parrot isn't saying anything to me. I'm so glad that somebody's here I can have a little time with. He comes in and he sits down and the parrot starts to talk. Oh, what it said. It was terrible. It was just something you wouldn't even want to go to the truck stop and repeat. It was so bad. And she thought, oh, no. And she panicked. And the bird's saying all this stuff. And so she grabbed him up out of the cage. She thought, where am I going to put him? And the preacher sort of just looking at her like, what's going on? And she thought, I'll just put him over here. And she threw him in the freezer and shut the door. And so the preacher stayed for a little bit long. And he thought, well, I might not leave. Obviously, there's stuff going on here and whatnot. I know what my next lesson is going to be, so on and so forth. And so he said the niceties and whatnot, and he went his way. I think about it. Oh, that bird. Oh, my bird. That was awful what I done. So she goes in there and opens up the freezer, and there he is, just shivering and just the shake and so on and so forth. And he comes out and he says, oh, come here. And he went up on her arm. And he said, ma'am, I'll never talk like that again. Because I don't want to end up like that frozen chicken that was in there. You know, the tongue can get us in trouble, can't it? That's what the title of this sermon is, the 3-inch fire starter. The average tongue is 3 inches long. And it can cause a lot of damage. It can cause a lot of problems. Our tongues is not the tiniest muscle on your body, but that small muscle has the power to change lives in a negative way. or a positive way. It can destroy marriages. It can destroy congregations of the Lord's church. It starts out with whisper.
That's a dress, ain't there now? Why is she wearing that dress? She's wearing that friendly thing. What? Why is it that man, when he's singing, sings so off-key? Why is it it starts out with this?
I call it drive-by length. You know the kind. If you hear about it in the big cities, there'll be a drive-by. Somebody come by, and they just keep going. Nobody even knows what did it. That conversation sometimes is just like those drive-by incidents where it's kept sort of off to the side. It's sort of being hidden. It's sort of out of the way. And sometimes it gets out and somebody says, what did you say? Oh, well, I was just joking.
I was just joking.
But how does that person feel? They may not consider it fun. They may say, well, why are you trying to make up something that's opposite of what you actually said? You're just trying to triangulate, as the politicians will say. You're just trying to get me off on something else over here instead of what the subject is. It can cause all kinds of issues sometimes. You know, James says, James chapter 3, this will be our main script lesson. Starting at verse 5 of James chapter 3, the scripture says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. That's some strong language, isn't it? James used that strong pen and wrote down what needed to be said. It must have been something bad going on about that time. Maybe he had seen it so much. Maybe it was ongoing at the time and thought, I'm going to just address this. People need to watch what they say. In our Bible class last Lord's Day, we talked about how if you squeeze toothpaste out of the tube, can you just put it right back in there? Well, our words, when they come out of our mouth, they're said. They can't be brought back. You can't chew on them and get them back inside you. They're out there, and they can cause all kinds of damage. I have to use this illustration. I think I've already used it here before, but it's a good illustration. It's stuck in my mind for well over 42 years now. When I very first obeyed the gospel, became a child of God, I knew I needed to straighten up my life. I needed to fly right and go in a different direction than the way I'd been going. And so I started doing that the best I could. I didn't know how to even find things in the Bible. You'd hand it to me and say, look for so-and-so, so-and-so, and Annette would have to go over there and find it for me so that I could get through. And that was the one that helped. But who was the one that led me to the gospel? But who could help me and so on and so forth. But I was trying my best. I would pray to myself. I would try to do everything I could do. I did everything I was asked to do within the congregation we were at. And then I went one day, hadn't been a member very long, and went and helped the man do some work on the building and an accident. And when the accident happened, the words come out of his mouth. And I thought, what's with this? It starts talking to me. You know, I'm a newbie. I hadn't got wet behind. I got wet and then I didn't dry off behind the ear, I guess is a better way to say it, instead of not wet behind the ear. I had the baptismal waters were still there. And Satan starts on me and it's like, is this place was full of hypocrites? Is this all a lie? I knew that there was something wrong with this Christianity. Now, I didn't act on it at that time, but that was the thoughts I started having. Wouldn't it be an out-and-out awful thing is that gossip or whatever the case comes along, it gets out there, and it causes somebody to leave Christianity. to turn their back fully on God. Do you think that if you don't repent of that and make things right, that you can go before God and be right with God someday? I don't see how you could be right. I think that God's going to say, wait a minute. Now, I know you did this. And I know you did that. That was all good stuff. But this soul was lost because of you. And you never even did anything to make it right. You just did. And God, I don't even remember what I said. Oh, I've got it right here. Here's what you said. And that's what happened. Oh, to lose your soul over something like that. But so many times, our words, they build up and then they destroy. Our speech reflects what's in our heart. That's what it's all about. To understand how to manage this powerful tool, we first have to look at the destructive nature when it is unchecked. Those careless whispers that I was speaking about, they're often said safely. But I like to change that and change it to cowardly. They're talking trash at a safe distance, if I had to put it into a phrase. Oh, we can just get by for that, and so on and so forth. But here's what happens. In Proverbs 16, verse 28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth teeth friends. Because a lot of times those whispers, they become shouts to somebody else. Somebody goes to them. You ever had you tell someone going to tell it, and then they go and they tell it back to the person who's going to tell them? You didn't plan on that happening, but they went and done it. And now you've got to live up to it. And then it's too late then. You can't pull them words back. So we have to be careful with our speech. And I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you. We have to concentrate before we say what comes out of that 3-inch fire starter, because it can cause so much destruction. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention list suicide as the number 2 cause of death between the ages of 10 and 24. Isn't that a frightening statistic? Number 2. It's like, which one number 1? Well, probably cancer. I don't know. I didn't look that part up. But just to be number 2, it's not like car wrecks. It's not like falling off bicycles. It's not any of those type of things. It's actually caused by suicides. And they've done studies and whatnot, and they don't know how many suicides are caused by somebody saying something or doing something to cause them to do that. But I know this. There's all kinds of legislation right now and lawsuits and class action lawsuits and everything else because people are getting online, they're putting stuff on there, and then somebody's committing suicide. Oh, maybe some young person with an indiscretion, with foolishness in their heart, decided to take pictures of their body where they shouldn't be taking pictures. They put it on the internet. Now, first of all, that's there forever. Don't say they could just pull it back. No, if somebody wants to, they can just take a snapshot, they can just post it all over the world. It's there forever. You can't pull them words back. You can't pull those actions back. And so then you have people that gets back to, and they don't know what. Oh, mama's going to fight. Oh, daddy's going to. Oh, my grandmama's going to sue. And get into an even more childish mindset. Well, I'm just going to be done. We have to be very careful with what we say, what we do. And if we are not very careful, we can cause someone to lose their life and worse yet, lose their soul. They say that inside the ear is the very smallest muscle, but the tongue can be the most destructive muscle in your body. And it's very small muscle. A single rumor can quickly tear apart years of church unity. I've seen. Maybe you have. Don't take much of it. Just one little thing. You know, these big ocean liners, some of them are huge. Annette and I, when my parents were alive, they got in the habit of wanting to go on cruise lines. And so we went, we actually went two or three of them. And we ended up going and being with them. And oh, it was a grand thing and whatnot. And it was deep. I mean, it was deep. And when, but do you know that it's a small rudder that controls which way it's going? In comparison to the size of that ship, that's, that rudder is small. But it, you could, you know, if that cruise line's going in a certain direction and somebody's not paying attention and just goes a tenth of a degree to the left or a tenth of a degree to the right, it can cause all kinds of destruction. And the Hun was saying that it could cause all kinds of destruction, and it's such a small, minor muscle within the body. We can accurately measure how long we have walked with Christ by observing how long we can control our tongue when we are mistreated or provoked. If we can hold that tongue, we can see the growth that we have in Christ Jesus. Don't you know there's some stuff that he could have said and didn't call that tongue? But what did he say? Father, forgive of any stuff. It's a very threat, not only to our unity, but it can also be to our peace. God desires his people to live in harmony. And carelessness, divisive speech, directly opposes what the Word provides to us, the work of the Holy Spirit. If we go over into Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And then if you drop down to verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren.
In God's word, isn't it so complete?
God knows there's going to be problems among people. Things are going to be said to 15 says.
And God addresses, man, hate.
Now that we see the immense damage a small whisper can cause, we must examine where these destructive sparks originate in our modern lives. Have you ever heard of a Freudian slip? Why it's called that is Sigmund Freud. He was a very famous early psychologist. He believed our minds have a hidden area called the unconscious mind. Now today we know that this area holds secrets, fears, and urges that we don't want to admit out loud. Freud argued that there are mistakes that aren't really mistakes. They're not random accidents. Instead, he believes that your brain temporarily loses control, letting the hidden truth just pop out. You've got these negative thoughts in your mind. Oh, that song leader, he's really good, but oh, I think I can do better. Oh, that person, that was pretty good, but it could have been shorter. Oh, and you've got that in your mind, and then the next thing you know, you let it just come right out. Condoleezza Rice was not married, but she went to introduce someone one day, and she said, now let me introduce my husband. What she was thinking, he had a Freudian slip, I believe.
He must have felt like he was a father figure.
But you know, you might have had this happen while you were dating. You might have went to pick up your girlfriend and said, Betty, I'm so glad to see you. I am so happy that we're together and everything. And she says,
oh, thank you.
And it, if you ever,
This is an example.
you wanted to get something that you didn't really need and you really didn't have, maybe you went to a baker and you went in there to get a fig cake and just a piece of it. And he says, you know what? I'll have a slice of that sin cake. Because you knew you didn't need it and you knew it would do you harm, but you would just live out and whatnot. Well, I think sometimes that's the case, is that we have things that are within us and they slip out and they come out. And sometimes it's because of fears. Sometimes it's because of jealousies, whatever the case may be. And we just have to tell somebody else. We just have to tell somebody else. And now we've started that fire. That spark has been ignited. The heart, well, sometimes exposes itself through what you say. And Matthew 12:34 says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your heart is corrupt, don't be surprised that it don't come out. And people see the thing through your actions and your words. James 3:6 says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the whole course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Then we have the trap today of social media. You know, you're on there, or you're tweeting, or whatever you're doing, you're on some chat box, and everybody's typing real fast. You want to get your stuff in there, and you've got a better answer, and you've got a better way of doing it, and you try and type it in there real quick, and it's the wrong thing you wanted to say. Oh, don't ever use that where you talk into it and voice the text. We've seen some texts, haven't we? And it's the smiley. She knows what I'm talking about. It's, oh, what are they meaning about that? They just talked into that thing, didn't look it. Man, it's like, what'd he call me? You know, in the multitude of words, there wanteth no sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. That's from Proverbs 10:19. Should we be quick to speak? We should be slow to speak and quick to hear. If we're just wanting to just talk, be careful with you. Sometimes the heart will expose itself. Great problem. Then there's the tamed tongue. When we submit to the control of God, human willpower cannot tame the tongue. But true restraint requires daily active submission to God to place a guard over our lips. Psalms 141:3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the doors of my lips. When I was putting this together, I doing a little searching and whatnot, and I found that scripture, and I thought, I need to start adding that to my prayers. I have one in the morning. I have more during the day, but I have one very first thing in the morning. I need to put that in there. Please guard what I say, dear. Help me to talk the way I talk. Put my will second, put God's will first. You know, if you start doing things and you do it in a repetitious manner, great things will happen. If you remember when I very first came here, I haven't said much about it, but I gave a challenge to each person that was here. Find one person, just one person, and pray for them to become an obedient Christian. Pray for them daily, that one person. I've been doing mine. Now, I have missed a day or two. This slipped my mind. You could see, you watch me around here, you'll see I take the dust for the open and everything else sometimes along the way. But pray for that one person. Pray for them repeatedly. I pray that this person, dear Lord, will leave the world and come to thee. And I pray that I can be that tool that will help that person. Now then, I'm not asking you to go out here and start knocking doors and everything. Just pray for one person and pray for them in a repeated manner.
as you start doing things over in this habit. And you know what? There's a lot of power in it. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. You do two or three, do a dozen. I don't care. Do it these two. Just do one coach.
And pray that God helps you with those things that are a challenge to you. Pray daily. Believers are called to replace destructive speech with words that build up. We're supposed to edify. We're supposed to build up the saints, not drag them down. When we surrender our communication to Christ, our speech becomes a healing medicine that protects the unity of the body of Christ. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bone. That's Proverbs 16:24. Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now here's the summary of this lesson. The tongue is a 3-inch fire starter that will ignite conflict if left to itself. But when surrendered to Jesus, it becomes an instrument of healing.